Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 48 on February 9th, 2019. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Transocean Group, IBM, and Starbucks, and then we discuss three new trades on Barrick Gold, Morgan Stanley, and Cisco Systems. It's always great to hear from listeners. I say this every week. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show or about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll really need to understand to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them there, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. So the U.S. equity markets were relatively unchanged week over week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended the week at 25,106 points, only 42 points higher than last week. That's really low. That's significantly less than even 0.5%. The S&P 500 index added 1.35 points this week, so it finished the week at 2707 or 2,707.88 points. So there are 443 publicly traded companies in the U.S. that will be announcing quarterly earnings this week. And on Tuesday, I watch a handful of them, and I like to discuss that each week on the show. A, it keeps me from making any mistakes or getting into positions that are about to have an earnings event that I wasn't aware of. And it also gives me an idea of which companies may be having a little bit more volatility in the coming week. So I'll keep an eye before and after they announce earnings. So on Tuesday, I'll watch Under Armour, Occidental Petroleum, Denny's, Groupon, HubSpot, and TripAdvisor. On Wednesday, Dish Network, Marathon Oil, Yelp, and MGM Resorts will announce earnings. On Thursday, we'll hear from Applied Materials. I like AMAT. Sunoco Phillips, Coca-Cola, Kraft Heinz, and Waste Management. And then on Friday, we'll hear from Deere & Company and PepsiCo. They will both announce earnings for their quarterly results as well. So that's it. Some people have asked me why I talk about earnings each week, and that's really it. It's having an idea of this is news that we know will come, and news does have the ability to affect stock price. I'm sure many of you know that, so it's important to stay on top of who's having earnings and whatnot. Other pieces of information that can be really significant as well are things like dividend payouts, ex-dividend days, because that will definitely affect your option positions, as well as things like, you know, companies that will be buying other companies. Mergers and acquisitions have a very significant role in the economy, and it's always good to just stay on top of news. I don't cover those other pieces on this show, but I do like to talk about earnings at least and give a heads up for who's about to announce. So the topic of the week this week, hopefully you guys enjoy it, but it really is just this. It's one piece of advice. Keep it simple. The one thing that matters in option trading is making money. Focus on that more, right? I've seen guys over the years just focus on things like, how do I better understand, you know, volatility graphs and all sorts of things, and that can be great, but you don't really have to complicate options to make money trading options. So if your goal for listening to this show is to be a, you know, PhD quant level options analyst, this is probably not your show. But if you are the type of person that's looking for ways to make, you know, some extra money in your trading account and have it be significant, not just like extra money, but have it be significant returns that are possible, then this is definitely the show for you, because my goal is to cut straight to the chase and get there. So I'll give a little bit of background. So, you know, when I learned to trade options, it was the old school way. I started off back in 2001 at the CBOE, the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I worked for one of the largest trading houses there, and we were not a brokerage. We were traders. It was a firm that was made up of several different, you know, probably 30 or 40 different smaller trading units. Each of those units traded the company's money. So what they would do is bring in, you know, 10 to 14, we'll call it a golden child program, sort of, you know, one of those programs inside of a company that where they really invest in your education and want to see you succeed. So in 2001, I joined this firm in a group like that, and we learned all about options. I mean, we had official classes that were modeled after a couple of tougher books, and we talked about math. We talked about engineering and calculus concepts like Brownian motion and Ito's lemma. We discussed some of the fallacies in the Black-Scholes model. We went through all of that, so don't ever think that I don't have that background. That's where I started, and it took even, you know, living and breathing and eating option material every day. I mean, we would work on the floor of the CBOE as a clerk during the day, and then the evenings we were in class to prepare us to trade. It's still being, I'll call it, immersed in that environment. It still took a while to understand the Greeks, you know, delta, vega, gamma, theta, and rho, let alone being able to use them to make positive profit, to actually make money trading. So, but, you know, we did it. I learned it. I ended up going to business school in Chicago as well, at the University of Chicago. And after my MBA, I returned to Texas, my home state, to get into the energy trading business. And, you know, energy trading has been great because I got to not only trade financial, but I also was able to trade physical product. And at times, you know, I get to trade options. And I just remember one of my last times, I was moving literally a cargo a product from Houston to India. You know, we've got it's on a crate, or it's several crates, and on a ship floating. And I had some price exposure that I wanted to hedge out, and I wanted to use options. I mean, options are my go-to. I've been trading options longer than anything else. So I wanted to put on a trading an option strategy to hedge out the risk I had, the price risk that I had in this, you know, in this product that was going from Houston to India. And I remember one of my senior traders, he needed to sort of give the sign off before I'd be able to take on this position. And he kept getting stuck on the Greeks. He'd say things like, you know, how are you going to cover your gamma? And it really didn't matter, because I was going to be buying options. Buying options creates a long gamma situation. So market movements in a direction actually help you. You don't have to quickly run to hedge out your risk. And but he was stuck on the Greeks. So many people get stuck on the Greeks, and the Greeks do have a place, and they do add value. But I can tell you, for most of the folks that I've heard from, you guys are trading from home, you probably have day jobs, and, you know, do you really need to become an expert in talking about the Greeks? I don't think so. I think you can become an expert on where your option will make and lose money. So I'll give you a handful of benefits of keeping it simple. So first off, keeping it simple, the way I like to focus on it, allows you to just focus on profit. Where do you make money? Where do you lose money? And what do you do if you start to lose money? That's the reason I structure this show the way I do. I don't get into anything super technical. I just talk numbers and where we're going to make money and where we lose it. Number two, it really allows you to have clarity around your actions. So if you're constantly trying to figure out the Greeks and Well, as price moves in this direction, it's going to change your Greek this way. And, you know, so you're going to need to cover that extra exposure that your gamma is going to create. And you're going to, you know, if you're doing that from home, chances are you're not going to be clear on what you actually want to do when price moves to your break-even point, or when price moves, you know, in the direction you want. Keeping it simple means knowing what to do next. It means having a clarity of mind so that you can take action. And then the final thing, the final reason I keep it simple, I've made a lot more money trading once I kept it simple. Once I started looking at it from a clear, strip away as much extra as you can, and let's just talk about money. I have made more money from approaching trading that way. And so one of the things I've done too, and really I've only mentioned it a handful of times on the show, but I created a course that I actually have taught some people to use this format. It's the most simple format to learn options, and it allows you to just focus on what truly matters, which is making money. So if you are interested, you can take a look. There's a video that I created on a website, and you can watch that video and decide if this class is for you. It's not for everyone, but for those of you who really want to be more active in options and hopefully learn options to the point where you're not just paying for lessons. I always tell people, you know, everyone learns and lessons aren't cheap. Well, a lot of people get into options. They do things that weren't going like they were, that they take strategies that were designed to fail right from the start, and then they leave options assuming that options are too difficult. That's not the approach that I take, and I think my students are seeing the results in their own accounts as well. So head over to www.theoptionstudio.com and you can learn more. There's a video there. If it's for you, great. I'll see you on the other side. And if not, no worries. I am thrilled to death that you listen to this show. So let's dive into the trade results from last week. Bit of a mixed bag for me. Whenever you have such low movement in the stock market, that benefits some positions. Like any short position, the lack of movement will actually benefit. And then, if you're long though, if you own options, then typically the clock is working against you. And that means that a lack of movement actually makes it less likely that your options will finish in the money. This is also one of the last weeks that I had February trades. February expiration, of course, is 2 weeks from now. So I won't be, this week and next week, we won't really be touching February at all. I'm moving on into March. But let's dive in. So the covered call this previous week, I looked at Transocean Group, symbol RIG, Richard Isaac Gregory. The stock ended, or the stock at the time was trading for $8.71. And I looked at selling the February 9 call at 18 cents against owning that stock. That would create a 5.42% return in 2 weeks, or really it was 3 weeks. Well, Transocean stock finished at 43 cents lower this week, ending the week at $8.28. The February 9 call, which we sold, is down 14 cents, which is great. We can actually close that option, meaning we would buy it back in for a 14 cent profit right now. Now, that lowers our actual loss on the stock, because the stock is 43 cents lower. That 14 cents that we made on the option, if we buy it back in, that lowers our loss on the overall trade to 25 cents per share. Now, by buying the February 9, buying that call, by buying that February 9 call, you actually will close off the risk and you can roll it lower, meaning sell another call option. So if we sell the February 8.5 call for 13 cents, that lowers your current loss on the trade to 12 cents. So that's great. We go from a 43 cent loss to really a 12 cent loss. Now, if the stock finishes higher than $8.50 per share, your stock will lock in a profit of 10 cents per share, and you'll get to keep the money that you made on selling that option. So not bad for a 43 cent stock move against you. And this is why I mean, this is why trading options against your stock position, if you guys have portfolios, trading options against your stock can be great, because it can actually create situations where you get to protect yourself against losses in the stock itself. So if we only had the stock on, we would have lost 43 cents this last week. But because we had that option, we made 14 cents in the option, we can buy it in and sell another option and actually really chip away at that loss. So that's that. Let's move on to the credit spread. So we were talking about IBM, International Business Machines. I always laugh when people don't actually know what the symbol IBM stands for, because they rebranded back, I think, in the late 80s or early 90s to just be IBM. And so people rarely ever, you know, say the full company name out. But IBM, symbol Isaac Brian Michael, last week, the stock was trading for $134.10. We looked at selling a put spread, selling the February 133-132 put spread at 35 cents, which creates a maximum loss of 65 cents. So IBM stock finished the week 39 cents per share lower, closing at $133.71. Now, we sold a put spread, so prices moved against us. They moved lower, and that's not a good thing. The spread that we sold for 35 cents can actually be bought back right now for 38 cents. So that means if you were to buy it back, if you don't believe that this stock will ultimately go higher, you can buy that in and just lock in a 3 cent loss right now. Not bad for having this exposure on over the week. Of course, that also means crossing the bid-ask spread. You could likely exit this trade for flat right now, because the spread, just given the prices that are posted end of week, the spread is priced with a 14 cent bid ask spread, and that's pretty wide. Chances are we could get in the middle of that if you were to even be able to close it, cut that down to a 10 cent wide spread. And sometimes they'll do that if you have enough volume or if you go direct with your broker. But you could cut that spread and probably close this trade out for flat right now, because it's still, you know, this is the February 133-132 put spread. It's still 71 cents out of the money, and we have 2 weeks for it to either go lower that 71 cents or to bounce back and go higher. The real question is whether you really want to stay in this trade, and I still like the price chart and this trade overall. We're not close to the break-even point at all, and with 2 full weeks left until February expiration, I'm leaning towards watching the daily movement of this stock closely and staying in. The only reason I would leave is if I truly thought that this stock was about to tank. And if it did do that, I would consider selling call spreads to help offset a loss and further limit my maximum loss. But remember, when we trade spreads, we know right from the start what our maximum gain, our maximum loss are. I know that my maximum loss is 65 cents here. I'm okay with that. I didn't trade huge, so my maximum loss is small relative to the overall position, and it's possible to still make money on this trade. I fully think I'm going to, but I'm an optimist, so what else do you expect? But the way I balance out my optimism is to also know, like, okay, if it moves against me, if it gets here, I'm going to start looking at selling call spreads to bring in some additional returns. And I would do it, just to be clear, I would look at February. I like to keep my risk in the same month, so I would look at selling call spreads in February. The only reason I would change to another month is if I wanted to roll this position forward. So maybe I would buy in the February 133-132 put spread, and then I would sell the March 133-132 put spread. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only reason I would move my risk from 1 month to the next. Otherwise, I'd like to keep my risk in the same month, so that every trade that I'm in has a specific time frame where after that time is up, I've either made money or lost money, but that trade is out of my account and out of my position. So I don't like having ongoing lingering trade risk on all the time. Sometimes it's just good for mental clarity and mental freedom to just have a point at which, you know, that trade is off of my books. And then the final trade that we looked at last week was a debit spread on Starbucks, symbol SBUX, Sam Brian Uncle X-Ray. The stock at the time was $68.11, and I looked at buying the February 67.5-68 call spread for 32 cents. That creates a maximum gain of 18 cents or 56.25%. And at the time, it was 3 weeks. So Starbucks stock finished the week up $1.64 per share, so it closed at $69.75. That's great because we bought a call spread, and that means that this trade is working out for us. The in-the-money spread that we purchased is even more in the money now. Now, ironically, if we were to try to sell the spread out right now, crossing the bid-ask spread would actually lead to a bit of a loss, and there's no reason to close this trade. It's working. Stock is moving in our favor. So given that stock is much higher, I mean, $1.64 in a week is pretty good. Given that it's much higher and we only have 2 weeks until expiration, I'm staying in this trade. It's making money. It's doing what I expect. And when it finishes, this trade will be pricing closer to intrinsic value, which right now the total intrinsic value on this trade is 50 cents. I paid 32 cents for something that will ultimately or should ultimately be priced at 50 cents. So I hope that clicks with you guys. I hope that you understand the reason why I like to buy. I don't like buying out of the money things, but I like buying in the money spreads that are going to be priced higher if stock just stays where it is or moves in the direction of the trade. So that's it for last week. Last week's trades. Let's get into the trades for this week. I like what's going on here. I think this market's going to create a few good opportunities. And it really, given the amount of news that we've been having, I mean, we had the State of the Union address this past week. So it's interesting that the market managed to get basically right back close to where it was at the start of the week. So not much moving over the week, but I like these handful of trades. So let's dive in. So as usual, the first is going to be a covered call. I'm looking at Barrick Gold, symbol G-O-L-D, George Oscar Larry David. The stock ended the week at $13.62. And I'm looking at selling against that stock, selling the March 14 calls at 39 cents. Which creates a 5.65% return in 5 weeks. So March expiration is 5 weeks away. Now you would enter this trade by paying $13.62 for the stock and then selling the March 14 call at 39 cents. And this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $14 per share. All right, our next trade is going to be a credit spread, as usual. Credit spread, of course, is when we sell a spread. I'm looking at Morgan Stanley, symbol MS, Mary Sam. Stock ended the week at $40.81. And I'm looking at selling the March 41-42 call spread at 43 cents. That creates a maximum loss of 57 cents. Now, this is huge. We know that we've had some earnings in the banks over the previous weeks. But this $1 call spread is trading for 43 cents right now. I normally see these spreads trading for 30, 35 cents, right? In fact, I won't sell a $1 spread for less than 30 cents. Being able to sell it for 43 cents makes it a little more inspiring. As well, I just like this trade, so take a look. I'm going to keep looking at it, see if I find any other news on Morgan Stanley to make me not want to trade this, but right now, this looks pretty good, the March 41-42 call spread. So you enter this trade by selling the March 41 call at $1.26 and then buying the March 42 call for 83 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread ultimately, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay below $41 per share. So right now, we're trading for less than 41. By selling this call spread, I'm obviously, that is a bearish position, so I am hoping that Morgan Stanley stock goes down over the next 5 weeks. And then our final trade of the day, or for the show at least, is a debit spread. We're looking at Cisco Systems, stock symbol CSCO, Charles Sam Charles Oscar. Stock ended the week at $47.19. And I'm looking at buying the March 46-47 call spread for 65 cents, which creates a maximum gain of 35 cents or 53.85% return on your risk capital in 5 weeks. You enter this trade by buying the March 46 call for $2.32 and then selling the March 47 call at $1.67. This is a debit spread, of course, because we are buying the spread, and this position makes the most money if stock prices stay higher than $47 per share. So on this week's show, it's interesting. I have us, you know, long stock and short a call, and then I have us selling a call spread and then buying a call spread. So that just almost guarantees that next week will be a mixed bag of wins and losses. But I know my break-even points on each of these trades. I have my strategies together on what happens if this moves against me or if it works. So that's the way I like to approach my trading. And some of the things, there are plenty of trades that I discuss in the class that I don't discuss on this show. So there are times when you can sell a ratio spread, that meaning you'd sell two or more options and use the proceeds from that sell to buy another option. That other option you purchase can be closer to it can be a more in the money call, and then you financed it by selling further out of the money calls. And that's just one of the types. But with those ratio spreads specifically, you can create a scenario where if stock goes up, you guarantee yourself a nice upside, and if it moves down against you, you also end up locking in or protecting yourself from any loss. And you can actually, like the last ratio spread I did, it was a call spread. When stock moved higher, I had to be careful because it can end up, the risk can actually pop on the, if it goes really high. But I also did it for a credit, meaning the two options that I sold were worth more than how much I paid for that one option. And so I was able to actually, if stock moved lower, which it did a little bit, I guaranteed myself a little bit of money as the price moved lower. So I was long a call and I was getting paid as the stock moved lower. Go figure. But that's the beauty of understanding options. So again, I thank you guys for listening to the show. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you're learning. My goal here every week is not just to brag or talk about, you know, my actual trades, but it really is to teach. So I hope you guys are learning some stuff. And more importantly, I hope you're taking action, because that's where you learn. You don't learn by just reading the book. Yes, read the book, but then turn around and take action. That's where it becomes real. It moves from head knowledge to more wisdom or heart. So that's it for this week's show. Again, this is Eric. Thank you guys for listening. Take care. Happy trading. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.